Good morning. As we transition into the message time, I invite you to open up the prayer and action guide, pull out the green sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that we can support you on that journey. So hopefully you can engage with me in that this morning. But now I want to invite you to engage with me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. We are in week two of a series called Head to Heart to Hands. This is not to be confused with the song Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. Completely different. The goal of this series is not to learn the parts of the body, but to learn the process of transformation. As we began discussing last week, transformation is a process that moves from our head to our heart to our hands. It happens with God's help when we take what we believe in our head, receive it in our heart, and then live it out in our lives. In this series, we're looking at five transformational principles and taking a journey together each week from head to heart to hands. The first principle that we looked at was, he owns it all. All we are, all we have comes from God, belongs to God, is entrusted to us by God for God's good purposes. If you missed that message, I would encourage you to listen to it on our website or on our app. And to help introduce our second principle, I wanted to share a powerful illustration that I heard. Maybe you heard it too. Imagine that there's a bank, and every morning that bank credits your account $86,400. The only catch is you can't carry over any money from one day to the next. Whatever you fail to use that day is deleted that night. So what would you do? Wouldn't you try to maximize every cent possible? Well, here's the thing. We all have a bank like that. It's called time. Every morning, our account gets credited 86,400 seconds. There's no carryover. There's no overdraft. There's no borrowing against tomorrow. All we can do is live in the present on today's deposits. So it's important that we invest well, make the most of today, because the clock is ticking. When I first heard that illustration, it really drove home the principle that we're looking at today. Our second principle is every day is an opportunity. Each new day is a gift from God filled with divine possibilities. Yet we only have one chance to use this gift. Once it's gone, it's gone forever. And no one is guaranteed a tomorrow. So what are we going to do? Are we going to waste our time and spend it foolishly? Or will we invest it wisely and make the most of every opportunity we get? In the message, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that urges us to make the most of every opportunity and shows us how to do that. If you want to follow along, I invite you to turn with me in your Bible or your Good Shepherd app to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. Ephesians is located near the middle of the New Testament. While you're turning there, I'll just give you a little bit of context. Ephesians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to an early faith community at Ephesus. And Paul was a man whose life was radically transformed by Jesus, and he traveled all over the world sharing the good news about Jesus. Not everybody took kindly to Paul. On more than one occasion, he was arrested and thrown in prison. It's believed that Paul wrote Ephesians and many of his other letters while he was in prison. Paul had a sense that his days were numbered. Nothing adds focus and intentionality to our life quite like knowing that our clock is ticking. But Paul also had a sense that the time he had left was a gift from God, filled with divine possibilities. And even in the midst of difficult circumstances, Paul wanted to make the most of every opportunity he had, and he urged others to do the same. In this passage, Paul lays a framework for how we can make the most of the opportunities God gives us every day. In honor of God's word, would you stand as you're able? Paul writes, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I invite you to be seated. You probably picked up, Paul speaks a lot about light in that passage. Imagery of light all over. And I find this framework helpful because light is one of the first things that we see every morning when we wake up. Depending on when you wake up, you might open your curtains and see light shining through. Or if you're an early riser like me, you might turn on a light so that the light can shine in your house. When we see light in the morning, this can remind us of the opportunities we have each day. As Paul explains, that every day we have an opportunity for two things. We have an opportunity for God's light to shine in us and for God's light to shine through us. And let's consider each of these opportunities. First, every day we have an opportunity for God's light to shine in us. This is really good news. We wouldn't have this opportunity if it weren't for Jesus. Because you might remember on our journey through the Bible, God created us to live in his light. But almost from the very beginning, people turned away from God and turned into darkness. Kind of hurts to turn the light bulb away from the socket. You know what? Kind of hurts to turn away from God. As we end up acting in ways that hurt God, hurt others, hurt our world, hurt ourselves. And just as we would bump into things and hurt ourselves if we tried to walk through a room that was dark, the darkness in our life causes all kinds of bumps, bruises, brokenness, collateral damage. Thankfully, God loves us too much to leave us like that. And so God sent his son, Jesus, to light up our lives. Jesus paid for our wrongs on the cross so that we could turn back to God for forgiveness and have God's light fill our lives once again. In Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 19, Paul mentions several different ways that we can make the most of the opportunity for God's light to shine in us. One of the ways Paul mentions is Scripture. Psalm 119, 105 says, God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. God speaks to us through his word and gives us a clearer vision of who God is, who we are, and how we are created to live. Probably the most impactful faith practice that I have in my life is beginning each day reading the Bible and reflecting on it. When I do this, it starts my day off in the right direction. And when I don't, I can really feel that I am off. And so it's essential that we find a devotional or a reading plan that helps us invest time in God's word every day. If you need help with this, just let me know on your response card. Another way Paul mentions that God shines his light in us is through music. Music is powerful. I listen to Christian music on the radio when I'm driving, and it's uncanny how just the right song will come on at just the right time to shine a light on something that's going on in my life. If you need suggestions on stations or songs that you can listen to, just let me know on your response card. Maybe we can swap playlists. And then a third way that God shines his light in us is by asking for God's Spirit to fill us. In this verse, Paul mentions that there's a temptation to fill our lives with harmful substances that have a negative influence on us. Substances like alcohol and drugs. If you or somebody that you love is maybe trapped under the harmful influence of substances like that, I just want you to know that you're not alone. We have a team that's formed at Good Shepherd to help connect people with resources and programs that can help. So if you're battling this issue or somebody you love, please let us know how we can help and come alongside you. But Paul encourages us in this passage, don't fill yourself with harmful substances. Fill yourself with God's Spirit. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how God makes his Spirit available to us to lead us, guide us, empower us every single day. And it would be an amazing practice to begin every day and say, God, I want your Spirit. Would you fill my life? Would you lead me, guide me, and empower me? One of the reasons why corporate worship like this is such an important part of our life is because it combines all three elements: reading scripture, singing songs, seeking God's Spirit. And so I hope that you make this time a priority in your life. And Paul says, don't miss this. You have an opportunity every day for God's light to shine in your life. And when we let God's light shine in us, it affects us in two important ways. On the one hand, God's light exposes things in our life that are not good. I think about this kind of like the light that my dermatologist uses. Many of you know that I've been dealing with skin cancer. I have an appointment coming up, so you can pray with me for that. But when I go to the dermatologist, they use a big bright light to identify any spots that are unhealthy or harmful so that they can be removed. And in the same way, God's light shines in our life to expose areas that are unhealthy or harmful so that they can be removed. In Ephesians 5, Paul mentions some of the things to keep an eye out for. Is there any immorality or impurity in our life? Is there any disrespectful language or offensive joking? Is there any lying or laziness? Is there any cheating or stealing? Is there any greed or gluttony? Is there any anger or hostility? If so, God can help remove these things before they cause any more harm. I was speaking with a couple recently who's engaged, and they said they recognized that they had crossed over a line of purity in their relationship. And with God's help, they wanted to recommit to purity leading up to their wedding so that there wasn't anything that would cause them to stumble or veer off God's good plan for their marriage. And I thought, wow, what a courageous, bold step. I was so proud of them. See, on the one hand, God's light exposes things in our life that are not good. But on the other hand, God's light produces things in our life that are good. I think about this like the light of the sun and how it helps fruit and vegetables to grow in a garden. My wife and son had planted a garden this year, and they positioned the garden so that it could get lots of sunlight every day. Likewise, we cannot grow into the people God created us to be unless we position ourselves in such a way that we can receive God's light on a daily basis. Because when we're reading scripture, when we're singing worshipful songs, when we're seeking God's spirit, God produces the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth in our lives. In another letter to Galatia, Paul expands the list of fruit that God produces in our lives. Listen and see if there's any fruit that you might like in your life. He says, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Could any of you use that kind of fruit in your life? Well, guess what? We can't produce that fruit on our own. That kind of fruit only is produced when we position ourselves to receive God's light on a daily basis. So first, we have an opportunity every day for God's light to shine in us. And second, we have an opportunity every day for God's light to shine through us. A functional light bulb shines beyond itself. And our hurting, broken world is desperate for God's light to shine in the darkness. And we have the exciting opportunity to be the ones through whom that light shines. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul describes how we can let God's light shine through our lives. In Ephesians 4:29-5:1, Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with any form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice." We have opportunities every day for God's light to shine through our words and through our actions. Throughout the day, we can be looking for opportunities to speak words that encourage, build up, benefit others. Throughout our day, we can be looking for opportunities to show kindness and compassion, to love like Jesus loved, to forgive like Jesus forgave. And in his letter, Paul encourages us to let God's light shine in all of our relationships. I mean, if God's light is shining brightly in us, it probably should radiate on the people closest to us. God's encouragement, kindness, compassion, love, forgiveness should be the trademark of every relationship in our life. It should impact how we treat our employer or employee, how we treat our husband or wife, how we treat our parents or children, how we treat our family or neighbors, how we treat our friends or enemies, how we treat people inside our faith community or outside our faith community. And Paul made a special emphasis on the importance of shining a light among those who haven't yet believed in Jesus. Because we might be the first or only impression that somebody gets of Jesus. And not everyone will respond kindly to us. That's okay, that's par for the course. But I guarantee you, if we live as children of light in a dark world, you are guaranteed to brighten someone's day. And it just might be your own. And even more important, it might be through the light we shine that we help lead somebody else to Jesus. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I ran across a really inspiring story in the Naperville magazine this past week about how God can transform lives when we let his light shine in us and through us. The story is about a man named Steve Matowick. Between the ages of 13 and 19, Steve's life was a mess. It consisted of drinking, smoking, taking drugs, lying, stealing, and cheating. As an addict, Steve's life was spinning out of control, and he was on the verge of flunking out of high school. Steve wasn't able to turn to his own dad for help because his dad was an absentee father and was an alcoholic himself. Things, however, began to change for Steve one Thanksgiving when his older brother came back from college. Steve's brother, who had been all about partying before, became a Christian in college. And when his brother came back, he didn't criticize Steve or give him a lecture. Instead, he gave his little brother a big hug. And he said, "Steve, Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life." I bet his brother had no idea how much his words and actions would impact Steve, but they did. Steve realized how much he needed Jesus and made the decision to turn his life over to Jesus, and his life was dramatically changed. His grades improved. His addiction to alcohol and drugs waned. His relationships with others became healthier, including the relationship with his dad, who eventually came to know God himself and become sober. Now Steve is the senior coordinator for New Life Corrections and Urban Youth Ministry at Wayside Cross Ministries in Aurora. He works with hundreds of church volunteers to host two-day dad seminars at correctional facilities throughout Illinois to transform incarcerated fathers into men who are spiritual and servant leaders in their families. Wayside also has a program called Master's Touch for Men, which offers Bible-based, Christ-centered mentoring and residential living for those who are engaged in destructive behaviors like alcohol and drugs. And many lives are being transformed through this ministry, like the life of Greg Kalustian, who was an addict for 30 years before finding God and finding sobriety through Steve's ministry. Such a cool story. What's your story? I bet our work campers have some really cool stories from this past week. Every day is an opportunity. We have 86,400 opportunities each day to make a difference. So how can we make the most of every opportunity for God's light to shine in us and through us? I want to leave you with a challenge and a prayer. First, with a challenge, I want to invite you to try something with me this week. Every time you turn on a light this week, whether it's in your home, in your office, in your car, wherever, every time you turn on a light this week, I want you to pause to take a quick journey from head to heart to hands. When you turn on the light, just take a moment to thank God for a new opportunity and to think about how you can let God's light shine in you and through you. Maybe it's thinking about ways that you can incorporate reading scripture, singing songs, asking God's Spirit to fill you. Maybe it's thinking about how to take advantage of opportunities to speak encouragement, demonstrate compassion, or offer forgiveness. The possibilities are endless. So this week, every time you turn on a light, pause for a moment to thank God for a new opportunity and to think about how you can let God's light shine in you and through you. And then finally, I wanted to leave you with a prayer. This prayer is in the form of a song. At the end of our verse for today, Paul says, "Make music to the Lord in your hearts." And a while back, I wrote a song that verbalized a prayer that I want to pray every day. And that prayer is, "God, make the most of me." And I hope this prayer blesses you.
The moment is over, you've just begun. It was here, but now it's done. So many moments slipping away. That was then, but not today. Lord, in all my life I desire to be all that you need. Make the most of me, and with every second I meet, take my hands and my feet. Make the most of me. Stop counting hours, make hours count. Isn't that what life's about? Cherish the moment as each moment comes. Make the most of everyone. Lord, in all my life I desire to be all that you need. Make the most of me, and with every second I meet, take my hands and my feet. Make the most of me, yeah. And if there's beauty, help me see it. If there's hope, Lord, help me believe it. If there's truth, Lord, help me to speak it. If there's love, Lord, help me reveal it. The moment is over, you've just begun. It was here, but now it's done. So many moments slipping away. That was then, but not today.
Bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, then you can put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. If you want, you can use the camera on your phone to scan the code at the top and just do it all from your phone. I'm going to give you a few moments with God, and then we'll close in prayer. Pray with me. God, thank you for the gift of each new day. May we never take for granted that gift. God, we confess that sometimes we waste our moments, spend them foolishly. Sometimes we turn away from your light into darkness.
Thank you so much for sending Jesus so that we can turn back to you for forgiveness and have your light fill up our lives again. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before made the decision to turn to you for forgiveness, to turn their lives over to you, I pray that they would make today their opportunity to do that and let your light shine in and through them. And God, together we ask for wisdom to know how to apply what we've heard today and the courage to take the steps you're calling us to take so that Good Shepherd will always be a church that would reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As we move into our offering time, this is another wonderful moment to let God's light shine in us and through us. There are many ways to give at Good Shepherd, whether it's check, envelope, cash, text, app. It all springs from the same heart. A heart that recognizes the many blessings God has given to us and desires to let those blessings shine forward in our world. So as our ushers come forward to serve us in the offering time, I invite you to give with joyful and grateful hearts.
Come to this table, it's an opportunity for God's light to shine in us so that it more brightly may shine through us. Jesus came, he invited us to take bread, to eat it, to take wine, to drink it, to drive home that he wants to fill us, to be in us. And so as you come forward today, I invite you to take this as an opportunity to let God's light shine in you, to expose anything that may be harmful or unhealthy, and to produce in you good fruit that may shine forth brightly in this world. Pray using the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.